My name is Katrina Nguyen, and I'm joining you from the Oregon coast. The topic I bring to you today isn't exactly sunshine and butterflies, but I believe we owe it to ourselves and our futures to spend time educating ourselves and weeding out impediments to what we hold is good and just. Of course, what is good and just can be subjective from person to person. However, in modern times, there are actually some subjects that we generally and universally agree upon. One of those subjects is that all children are entitled to healthy, happy, and innocent upbringings, free of exploitation and violence of any kind, especially of a sexual nature. My guest today will be sharing an alarming trend affecting the safety and innocence of children on e-commerce platforms that many of us use on a regular basis. And she'll help us understand how we can get involved to be a part of the solution. Caitlin Roper is a writer and campaigner against the sexual exploitation of women and girls. She is a founding member of Adopt Nordic WA to Fight Sex Trafficking and co-founder of the Feminist Academy of Technology and Ethics. Her writing has been featured in The Guardian, Huffington Post, ABC, Sydney Morning Herald, and Arena Magazine. And she has been interviewed on The Project, ABC's Late Line, and Triple J Hack. Her book, Sex Dolls, Robots, and Woman Hating: The Case for Resistance, is available from Spinifex Press. Caitlin is here with me today speaking on behalf of work she does with Collective Shout, an Australian-based organization that leads international grassroots campaigns against the objectification of women and sexualization of girls, especially in media, advertising, and popular culture, with many substantial wins across multiple sectors. Thanks so much for joining me today, Caitlin. Before we talk about the specific topic for today, I want to talk a bit about Collective Shout's vision, which is to see a world where objectification of women and sexualization of girls is unthinkable. I love that goal, that objectification and sexualization doesn't just appear, but it becomes unthinkable. Though we have our work cut out for us, I think we should aim for that very best outcome. Can you help listeners understand how Collective Shout defines objectification and sexualization?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me, Katrina, and for your interest in these topics. So, objectification, we typically talk about sexual objectification. So, I'll define this and then just give some examples for clarity. So, sexual objectification, this happens when a person, most often a woman, is treated as a body or a series of body parts for others' use and consumption, or when her physical attributes and sexual capabilities are seen as representing her whole self, like that's all she is, or determining her value. So if we're talking about sexually objectifying representations of women in advertising, this might look like an ad depicting a woman without a head or a face, or a woman reduced to a single body part, maybe a close-up on her backside, or a pair of legs or breasts, women portrayed as interchangeable, as a stand-in for like a literal object, or women being defined by their sexual availability. So these sexually objectifying portrayals of women, they send the message that women are not quite human, that we're merely bodies or things, things to be looked at, things to be physically pleasing, things to be used for sex. Basically, that we exist for men's sexual use and entertainment rather than being human beings worthy of dignity and respect in our own right. And when these kind of depictions of women are so routine, so normalized, and we see them every day, this has a real impact on how men see women and how women see themselves. And we know from decades of empirical research that these kind of objectifying and dehumanizing portrayals of women harm women and girls in a range of ways. Research shows that regular, everyday kind of exposure to these depictions of women contribute to the dehumanization of women, where men regard women as objects that exist for their sexual enjoyment. They contribute to men's violence against women. Men tend to have a greater tolerance for and support for violence against women. They have less empathy for victims and an increased likelihood of violence perpetration. These kind of representations also damage women's physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Women are more likely to engage in self-objectification, to experience body dissatisfaction, poorer body image, essentially just feeling worse about their bodies and about themselves. So that's, in a nutshell, what sexual objectification is and why we work so hard to fight against it.
Okay, and would you say that objectification and sexualization is basically the same exact thing?
So they're related, and often we see them go hand in hand, but sexualization is a little bit different. So I'll explain that. I want to be clear in distinguishing between harmful sexualization and healthy sexuality, because there can be some confusion around the term sexualization. And I think people sometimes think when we call out sexualization that that's like an objection to sex or sexuality, and it's not. So sexualization, this is when a person's worth is defined by their physical appearance or sexual appeal. And according to the American Psychological Association, sexualization can occur when any one of these four things takes place. So, first, when a person's value comes only from his or her sexual appeal to the exclusion of other characteristics. So, it's all about how they look, how sexy they are, their personality, their other traits. None of that is relevant compared to their body and their appearance. Also, when a person is held to a standard that equates physical attractiveness, so really narrowly defined beauty standards, with being sexy, like there's just one way to be sexy and it's the same. And when a person is made into a thing for another person's sexual use, that's like the objectification we've just talked about. And finally, when sexuality is inappropriately imposed on a person. So this one's particularly relevant to children. We often talk about the sexualization of children where adult sexual concepts are prematurely imposed on children before they're developmentally ready. And the negative physical and mental health outcomes of this. And as I touched on, opposing harmful sexualization, like I've just talked about, that's not opposing sexuality. So, sexualization, as I've just described, impedes the development and expression of healthy sexuality. It's a limited and limiting version of sexuality that kind of just reduces women and girls to what they can offer sexually. And we believe that girls have the right to healthy sexual development and to knowledge which equips and empowers them to make healthy decisions about their bodies and their relationships. So, in challenging the sexualization of primarily women and children, we're trying to resist the cultural message that tells us our sexuality and our sexual appeal that that's our only value.
Thanks so much. I think it's important to continually educate and remind ourselves in the most basic terms what we're working towards. So today's specific topic is an unfortunate and shocking development in the world of e-commerce, child sex dolls, or more appropriately, child sex abuse dolls. Can you educate our listeners what these child sex abuse dolls are and when you first became aware of them and where they're showing up currently?
Yeah, sure. So I've been researching this topic for many years now. Child sex abuse dolls are essentially what they sound like. They are lifelike, replica, anatomically correct children. Typically, little girls, very occasionally modeled on the bodies of little boys. I've probably seen a handful in the years that I've been researching this topic. And they come with penetrable orifices designed for men's sexual use. So essentially, they're replica children, sex dolls for men to practice sexual abuse on. And we have found them on a number of, mainstream global platforms, like you said, e-commerce platforms. We found them on Instagram and Twitter, and we've been campaigning against them for many years. Our first campaign against child sex abuse dolls was actually back in 2018. So a while back, we discovered them on an online shopping app called Wish. And we found these lifelike replica little girls, preteen. They were typically about 100 to 130 centimeters tall. I'm not sure what that is in inches, but they had flat chests and they were marketed as having flat chests. So all their childlike features were really emphasized, and that was sort of played up. And just really sexualized advertising material depicting these childlike dolls in vulnerable and sexualized ways. We also found replica child body parts, so like disembodied legs and things like that, all marketed for sexual use. And we successfully lobbied to get those products removed from Wish. And from there, we found countless child sex abuse doll accounts, like I said, on Instagram and on X or Twitter. We've managed to get some of them down, but it's really difficult working with those platforms. We've also found these products on on mainstream online platforms. We've successfully gotten them removed from Wish, Alibaba or AliExpress, Made in China, Etsy, Temu and Shein. And for the last 6 months, we've had a campaign calling on Amazon to get rid of them. And over that time, the last six, nearly 7 months now, I've found more than 100 child sex abuse dolls on the platform. Some marketed as flat-chested, posed with stuffed animals, and we've even come across sex dolls modeled on the bodies of toddlers on Amazon.
That's just awful. So let's talk about the harms of these dolls. To me, it's pretty clear that we don't want to give people any more reason to sexualize children, real or not. It's kind of like when we played with toys as kids, it was kind of training us how to operate in the world. I don't feel like somebody abusing a child sex abuse doll is going to prevent them from abusing the actual child. However, some people believe that these will prevent pedophiles acting out on real children. What can you say to that?
Yeah, that's actually a really common response that I've heard. Like I said, I've been researching and writing about this topic for many years. And what I've found is that even from well-meaning people, you know, the response is often, you know, these are vile, but isn't it better that predators use a doll than abuse an actual child? But it doesn't work like that. So first of all, and this is probably common sense, but child sex abuse dolls normalize and legitimize men's sexual use and abuse of children. We have cultural norms that say kids are off limits for sex. And when you have replica children being produced and sold for men's on-demand sexual use, then that's obviously undermining this really important norm. It makes it more normal, a little bit more acceptable to sexually use and abuse a child. And it's a very realistic replica child that offers no emotional feedback. So, you know, it's just going to be there and it's not going to cry. It's not going to say no or stop or resist in any way. And when men's sexual use and abuse of children is normalized and essentially encouraged like this, you know, this is in direct opposition to efforts to address child sexual abuse. And the other thing is, you know, this idea that child sex abuse dolls could prevent abuse and maybe they could be of some therapeutic benefit or something like that, but they don't prevent abuse. They actually increase the risk to children. So like we've touched on, some argue that these dolls could provide a sexual outlet to pedophiles, but the majority of these men are actually already offending against children in some way. So the vast majority of men found in possession of child sex abuse dolls are also found in possession of child sexual abuse material, which we used to call child pornography. But this is, you know, images and videos documenting the sexual abuse of children. So they're already offending in that sense. And we know that offenders typically engage in patterns of escalation. So maybe an offender starts by consuming child sexual abuse material, so viewing that content, and then they might escalate to acting out child abuse fantasies on a doll, and then proceed from there to contact offending against a child. So it's like having access to a realistic replica doll, like a stand-in for a child. It bridges that gap between fantasy and reality, and it's a step closer to acting out on an actual child. And we've also documented ways predators are incorporating actual children into their doll use. So this idea, oh, it's better they use a doll than a child. Well, it doesn't even work like that. It's not that kind of very neat doll over on this side and then child over on that side. In some cases, you know, we're seeing men printing photos of actual children's faces and attaching them to their dolls' heads. There was a case a couple of years ago in Australia where a primary school teacher printed off photos of his young students for that very purpose. So the idea that this is an alternative to harming children, it's like a new way of sexually exploiting children. We've also exposed manufacturers of these dolls who offer to customize them in the likeness of actual children. So pedophiles can send in a photo of a child known to them. And these days, you know, smartphones, it could be even a child on the street. It could be a photo taken from social media or, like I said, a child even in their care. And they can send that into the manufacturer. And the manufacturer will create a lifelike replica doll modeled on that child, complete with penetrable orifices. While I was doing research for my book, I spent some time lurking on pedophile forums. and found that child sex abuse store owners were using their dolls to create new child sexual abuse material. So they would film themselves performing sex acts on their childlike doll for other forum members. And what would happen is that the other forum members would make requests for specific acts to be performed on the dolls. And some of these dolls were even modeled on infants, not just children, but babies. And earlier this year in the city that I live in, which is Perth in Western Australia, a child sex abuse doll owner named Jason William Forbes was arrested for his plot to abduct a child and keep them in a soundproofed attic. And he had researched ways to approach and restrain a child. He'd spent months scoping out daycare centers and schools and had planned, you know, in great detail what he was going to do. And he was found in possession of tens of thousands of images and videos of child sexual abuse material, which is no great surprise. But he was caught after police searched his house when the Australian Border Force had intercepted a second child sex abuse doll that he'd purchased. So, you know, when these men practice acts of child sexual abuse on a replica doll, this doesn't satisfy them. It doesn't sort of function as a sexual outlet and meet that desire. There's that pattern of escalation. And we can see here just one example of men escalating from using a doll to preying on actual children. So this idea that, you know, that it might be awful, but still better than abusing a child, or that it could be helpful in any way, it's not borne out in reality.
Thank you. So the current campaign against Amazon, I'm just curious, what actions are you taking towards Amazon, and have you seen any progress? So I received your emails, and you know, when you guys first rolled out this campaign, I signed a little something, but I first wanted to see, like, well, maybe it's just in Australia, but I did a little search, and you know, lo and behold, some came up, you know, when I searched on Amazon. So I'm just kind of curious what your actions are, have been, you know, against Amazon, and what's going on, you know, what's the status so far?
Sure. Yeah, well, we've found these products, or we've searched for these products and found them on Amazon.com, like the US website, and Amazon Australia. I'm confident they'll be on other Amazon websites, but that's what we've done for now. So we first exposed Amazon in November of last year. And this was just immediately following our victory getting these dolls off Shein and Temu after like a year-long campaign. So we thought now's a good time to, we found them on Amazon as well. Now's a good time to jump on Amazon and call on them to similarly take action. We know Amazon has had a really long history of selling child sex abuse dolls and other exploitative and illegal items. One of our first campaigns actually was against Amazon back in, I think, 2009. We were calling on Amazon to remove an ebook that they were selling called The Pedophile's Guide to Love and Pleasure. And it was authored by a pedophile, and it was an instructional manual to pedophiles on how to sexually abuse children, how to groom them, and how to get away with it. And we had to fight for months to get that down because Amazon defended it as free speech. So that's just one example of, you know, some of the content that Amazon has hosted and defended in the past. And we found various products over the years, but child sex abuse dolls, we found these items last November. We went out on it. We created an action button where our supporters can take action really easily. And this might have been what you did. So you can basically just click a button and send a pre-written email to Amazon executives. And we've had close to 3,000 emails sent to Amazon. But essentially, Amazon has ignored us and failed to take any meaningful action to rid the platform of these dolls. When our campaign has generated media attention, which it has on a couple of occasions, journalists have reached out to Amazon asking questions, and reps repeat the same claim every time that they have strict policies against so-called child pornography and sex dolls with a childlike appearance. And that they, you know, their child protection is a priority and all of those, you know, they say all the right things, but they continue to advertise and profit from them. And then, we find more and the journalists get in touch again and Amazon says the same thing. Or we have strict policies. Well, obviously they don't, or they're not being enforced. But we also, you know, members of our team have also been blocked on X by Amazon CEO Andy Jassy when we brought this to his attention. So It's clear Amazon knows about the problem, but just doesn't really want to do anything about it. So we're also aware of journalists asking Amazon if they supplied Jason William Forbes, the child sex abuse store owner in my city, with the doll that he practiced on before escalating to his plot to kidnap a child. And Amazon has refused to answer the question. So I don't know what that means, but we found that interesting. We want to know also how many predators Amazon has supplied with child sex abuse dolls and how many crimes against children they've facilitated. We feel that Amazon can't have it both ways. They can't keep repeating this line about prioritizing child protection while selling child sexual abuse material and profiting from it. So it's been about 7 months now. We're still pressing forward. Some of these campaigns take longer than others. So I think if Amazon thinks that we're going to get bored and go away, they're in for a bit of a surprise because we're not going anywhere. But we are hopeful that, in time and with adequate pressure, they'll realize they have to actually do something about it. They can't keep going like this, and it's just not acceptable in this day and age to be hosting advertising and profiting from the sale of illegal child abuse material.
So this may be something you may not know, I'm not really sure, but you just said illegal material. So I'm kind of curious about the laws. What laws are kind of protecting sellers and Amazon? What laws are what can we use for our legal tools to put pressure on them in a real way other than, I mean, not to say that what you're doing is not real, but if we were a lawyer taking them on, what laws are there or are there none? And this might be weird because you're in Australia and we're in the US, but I mean, you probably have come across something.
Yeah, that's a good question. In Australia, child sex abuse dolls are illegal. In 2019, our Child Exploitation Legislation Act was amended to include childlike dolls, so they are treated as child sexual abuse material in Australia. We also have different states have their own laws as well, which can make it a bit easier for policing. But in the US, there's not uniform laws. So some states have passed laws specifically criminalizing child sex abuse dolls, for example, possession, advertising, selling, soliciting, all these kind of things. But not all states have those laws. But then some states and some countries as well don't necessarily have specific laws against child sex abuse dolls, but they use their existing laws, like on child sex abuse material or obscenity, to classify those objects in that way. So they still might ban the products, even if there's not technically a specific law about child sex abuse dolls. So that said, like I said, they're illegal in Australia. It's illegal to advertise them. It's illegal to do any of those things. And Amazon Australia continues to advertise illegal child sex abuse dolls. So it seems that even the law is not adequate when Amazon is not enforcing their own policies.
So, you've had all of these actions, you said something like 3,000 and no one from Amazon is really responding. I mean, it sounds like they're just blocking you. I mean, what is the next step? And, if people are listening and they're kind of like, oh, I want to get involved with this fight too. I mean, what would you suggest them doing? I mean, I guess just writing executives, but let me know what you're thinking and what's your next step?
Yeah, so on our next steps, we do have a few things in the mix. We're working with members of parliament here in Australia. We actually have plans, and we're sort of strategizing around this now, but to get global uniform legislation criminalizing these dolls everywhere. But in the meantime, because that's sort of a bigger job, we're trying to, engage Amazon and get them to take action here. But I'm not sure if you heard last year, there was a big sort of thing about Shein because they were exposed selling these products before they ultimately removed them. And what happened was that in France, the politician said, if you don't get rid of these illegal items, then we're going to block your access to the French marketplace. You can't operate in France anymore. So I'm wondering if that's the next step here for us in Australia to engage with politicians and get them to go to Amazon and say, if you're going to continue to flout the law and sell illegal child sexual abuse material, you don't get to operate in this country anymore. Because I think the only thing that's going to really motivate them? Because clearly, just the idea of, having a platform that doesn't sell child abuse material or supply pedophiles with child abuse material, that's, that's not enough motivation to get them to act. But if they know they're going to be losing a lot of money and a lot of business, maybe they care about money. So that might be the next step there. But in terms of how listeners can get involved and what they can do, we'd love for listeners to use our action button to send an email to Amazon execs. It's really quick and easy. And you can find it on our website, collectiveshout.org, or all over our socials. And we'd also encourage people, they can reach out to Amazon on their own if they like, post about it on social media or share our posts. We're posting all about this on the social, so you can share those posts with your friends and just talk about it with people, like tell people that it's happening. And I think it's important that people know. And I think a lot of people probably don't know and will be quite shocked to learn that these sort of products are being easily sold on Amazon. But yeah, it's clear that Amazon's not going to act unless compelled to do so. So the more public pressure on them, the better. Like, they might think we're going to get bored and go away, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to keep calling them out and keep holding them accountable. So any support from your listeners would be great.
Thank you for the work that you and Collective Shout are doing. I know it's not easy work. It's not really an easy conversation to have too. It's not like, we have a lot of things going on in our lives, and this is not really the topic that, like, oh, let's talk about this in our free time. But, we do have to hold these platforms accountable. And I don't like a world where these are being sold and created. I do have a question about, you've been targeting the selling of these items. I'm kind of curious if you've worked at all on the actual makers of the products.
Yeah, one of my colleagues, she's been doing quite a bit of research on the manufacturers. So they mainly come out of China and Japan. So we're looking into, some of the factories where these products are made and everything. And we have been liaising with law enforcement here that is specializing in child sexual abuse and exploitation. So, that is something kind of behind the scenes we're looking at and working on as well.
You already gave the Collective Shout website. You're free to, say it again. We have a minute if you want to close with anything.
Yeah, sure. So if listeners do want to learn more, if they'd like to get involved with this campaign or others, you can find us at collectiveshout.org. We're also on the socials. We're on Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So, feel free to follow or connect with us there. I'm on Instagram at it's Caitlin Roper, if anyone's interested in that. I think just lastly, I think that we often feel really powerless, and particularly now, the state of the world, things feel really bleak sometimes. And I think we feel like we just can't change things. But when we come together, when thousands of people around the world take even some small action or speak out, that's how change is made. That's how Collective Shout, we've had 42 victories last year, some of them global. And it's because people come together and speak out. So, we've gotten child sex abuse dolls off 6 global platforms so far. We're not going to stop putting pressure on Amazon until they get rid of them for good too. So, feel heartened that there is hope that we can actually change these things. And you do have power. If you speak out, we can make change.
Thanks so much, Caitlin. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Next month, I'll be back with a colleague of Caitlin's talking about a major win Collective Shout has had against the loathsome Andrew Tate. And we'll talk about related ongoing issues in media and popular culture. See you then.